Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Role Watcher podcast, where I'm joined by the wonderful Berit again to discuss this past week's Spanish state visit to the Netherlands. Welcome back, and it's great to have you on.
Thank you.
You were just mentioning that this is your first kind of state visit that you've covered as a royal reporter. Have you kind of followed state visits closely before, or was this kind of the first time that you were really focused on the individual events of that state visit?
I'm not a full-time royal reporter. Like, I do it on the side. I'm a social media reporter, and they let me do like the royals as an extra thing if I have to jump in when it's too busy. So please don't call me a royal reporter. It was my first like state visit that I got to report on as a journalist ever since I've been working professionally as a journalist.
That's wonderful.
So that was really exciting, obviously. It was fun because I actually noticed how my colleagues were also like really looking forward to it. It's like such a big event, and just sort of seeing how even people who aren't like as like invested maybe in like royals sort of get excited about it. That was really nice.
Yeah, I think state visits are always kind of an interesting event for people who kind of follow the royals even more casually. But this is one of those things when two other kind of monarchies go on state visits to each other, it kind of gives us more of an opportunity. And then with a country that has such close ties to the Netherlands, Spain is it made it even more special for all of us.
Yeah, well, I mean, we used to belong to Spain, if you can say it like that. We were part of the Spanish Empire. We've like fought an independence war against them for 80 years. So like you sort of notice how that is mentioned a lot. Also like by Dutch people everywhere, it's sort of like jokes about how they've come to like get us back or something. We mentioned Spain in our national anthem as well, which sings like I have always honored the Spanish king, but because it's a reference to the Civil War, and then everyone's like, oh, so we're honoring the Spanish king again. I don't know, like that's definitely a very historical connection there.
Yeah, and it's a kind of a very unique interpretation of trying to tie the two links together, especially in the modern day context.
I mean, yeah. You see, every time there's like a sort of state visit, well, sort of every time there is a state visit, everyone instantly starts talking about like this historical link of two countries. And if they visit the UK, then we have a super strong historical link to the UK. It's all, I mean, European countries all have strong historical links, but the Netherlands and Spain, it's particularly something that is linked because for a couple hundred years, we were part of the Spanish Empire, and that is something that every Dutch person will also be aware of. So, yeah, that's just instantly what everyone will be talking about, I think, when the Spanish king comes over.
Exactly. No, I think that's a great introduction. And then, the first really part of the state visit usually starts with an official welcome ceremony outside the Royal Palace on Dam Square. And the two kings review the guard of honor, and the queens accompany them. And what I found really interesting was that we had Spanish and Dutch students standing right there as part of the crowd. And after this, that the kings and queens went to go meet them, which is kind of more informal way, kind of element to this very formal ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, I cycled by actually. But, yeah, when was this? 2 days ago, I think. And they were inside, so I didn't see them. I mean, I live in Amsterdam, so I just cycled by because my working I was working out like around the corner. Anyway, I cycled by and everyone is sort of like, there were flags, Spanish flags, Dutch flags everywhere, and all these people. And I was like, oh right, that's happening today. And then I sort of like noticed, and you don't never see that in the pictures, but like there was like a huge protest as well about the Israel Gaza, how yeah about Gaza, So when you were sort of there, and you never see that in the pictures, but yeah, when you were there, there was a lot of protests going on, and you don't see that in the pictures, but that was definitely, I think, something that sort of
So that was on
maybe.
prayer as well.
That was like around the court. Well, the thing is, Dam Square, which is where this happened, so the Royal Palace is, they don't live there. It's really like a working palace. You can visit it, which I highly recommend. It's very beautiful. But it's in the middle of Amsterdam, and there's a square in front of it, which is used for a lot of things, also for on Remembrance Day, that all that, all this sort of stuff. But it's like one of the number one places in the Netherlands where people protest. So every single day there's like a handful or hundreds of people protesting there for all sorts of things, but usually it's definitely Gaza. So yeah, they were there as well, and they were sort of made to move, from the square because this was happening, and they, I don't think they were happy about that.
Yeah.
So that was definitely going around, happening as well at the same time.
No, I find that really interesting because I didn't see kind of any, because I saw the live feeds from a Spanish royal house who are really good at covering the sort of things. And there was kind of no mention of protests or kind of no sign of that on that. But I found it very interesting that King Felipe mentioned Gaza in his speech at the state banquet. I found that kind of a very, I don't think, I think he's one of the kind of the first people to do that. I can recall King Charles mentioning Gaza in a speech a couple of months ago, but this is really major.
Yeah, I think years ago Charles already said something about it. I mean, William commented on it, but I think I'm pretty confident that Felipe is not only the first to comment on it, like in recent, in recently, but also like the pretty much the only one who's asked for a ceasefire. So yeah, that is, I mean, Spain is also as a country one that is very,
Are so.
definitely, yeah, definitely saying more than the Netherlands.
So I found that from kind of we are kind of focusing more a bit on the superficial kind of fashion and jewels element a bit more here, but these wizards do have kind of a very strong political influence, and with this sort of thing, they can have a lot of impact in the public imagination.
Yeah, and I feel like it's hard, obviously. Like you and I, we both know that it's such a, that royals just have to be really careful when it comes to political statements and such. And as much as it pains me, I do think it's best if they stay away from too much, like too many political things, because they're not democratically chosen. So
Exactly.
like their personal opinion is shouldn't be, front and center ever. But yeah, like this is such a, sometimes things are so big that I imagine it's really hard for them personally that they can't say anything. And in Felipe's case, as I said, like Spain has been very, if I speak for the Netherlands, like it would definitely a little bit more, I mean, I'm saying we, but as a country, like our government is more pro-Israel than Spain is. So yeah, Felipe is probably, has the, has ha, is in a place where he can say more than Willem Alexander, because Willem Alexander hasn't said pretty much anything,
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I know. I think the most is that a round table, I think, with Israelis and Palestinians a couple of months ago, William Alexander and Maxima, but nothing much since then, especially given the events of recent months.
Yeah, no, William Alexander in general is definitely a royal, a monarch that stays very far away from making any kind of statement about political issues. I haven't really heard him do that ever.
It's kind of much more involved in politics in Spain and abroad in a sense. Yeah.
But yeah, for the for this opening ceremony thing, that was sort of happening on the side. They were pushed off the Dam Square. That is something that a lot of people, especially in Amsterdam, were talking about. But you didn't see it in any of the pictures, obviously. So
That was, I kind of didn't really make it to any of the international media. So I'm glad that with us. And kind of talking a bit more about the superficial things now. Kind of the two kings, they wore the miniature badges of the respective host countries. And then Maxima wore a really stunning antique butterfly brooch from the Dutch walls, which is one of my favorite pieces. And she wore that on her introductory visit to Spain back in 2013. And I thought that a very nice link back to the Spanish Campina. And I wonder if maybe there's kind of a family link there. But Letizia is kind of following in Maxima's example, and she wore Queen Sophia's big emerald earrings, which is really a departure from her usual style because she's very minimalistic in terms of jewels. But when you're competing against Queen Maxima, you kind of have to bring the best out.
Yeah, well, Letizia likes big tiaras, but she's also a little more petite than Maxima, so I think that's also maybe why she's a little bit more. I mean, Maxima is always pulling out the big, huge, egg-sized diamonds, so I think she's probably the number one person when it comes to, wearing big jewelry even during the day. But I thought they both looked really, really beautiful, actually. I mean, I love Letizia's fashion. I have said before that she's probably my favorite girl when it comes to fashion. So one of the reasons why I was excited about this whole state visit was that to see her fashion.
Yeah, no, she is a kind of very interesting to follow in fashion because she isn't kind of as out there as Maxima, but she's usually very well put together at everything. Quite interesting to follow her fashion because she's not as kind of classic and she tried to stick and mix contemporary and more traditional styles, and it creates quite an interesting mix, which is very interesting to follow for all of us.
Yeah, it always looks put together, and it's just, I don't know, it always works for her, and I just like her style also, like on a personal level, which is nice. So, I mean, I love Maxima, and she looked beautiful in this red outfit. Red always looks really, really good on her. And I love that when she does the whole red bag, red gloves, red hat, it just looks really expensive and just good. But if I was a royal myself, I would probably have more of a Letizia kind of style fashion. So that is
It's
personal.
also adapted. One thing I just kind of noticed is that Letizia, the Spanish, never wear hats, and Maxima usually does wear hats. So Letizia did kind of give into Maxima's style because she hasn't, I think, on last year's state visit to Denmark, she didn't wear a hat either, even though the rest of the ladies were. So this is something that she really reserves for the most kind of close and special guests, and that she really wants to honor even more. And she brought a hat out. She's only done that before in the UK. So it's also very, I think it's like the sixth hat she's ever worn.
Really? That's interesting.
So the fact that she did it specifically for Maxima, and I think the last time Letizia wore a hat, like one of the first times, was also in the Netherlands for the inauguration in 2013.
I was just thinking, because you say this to me, you're like, Letizia never wears a hat, and the first image of Letizia with a hat that comes to me is the inauguration. I was like, she was wearing a hat there, wasn't she? Because that dress code was so sort of, yeah.
No, I think before she became a queen, she wore it for the inauguration, the wedding of William and Kate, and the Luxembourg role. And then that was the three occasions that she wore it on the state visit to the UK, the Queen's funeral, and the coronation last year.
That's crazy to think how long she's been a royal and how little hats that she's been wearing, because I associate
One like.
royals so much to hats. Such a royal thing to me.
Sophia, because she never wore hats, and so Letizia has kind of picked up on that.
Yeah, I think it's also got a lot to do with like what kind of events royals attend where hats are, a thing, because I feel like the British and the Dutch, we have a lot of these sort of events where hats are, demanded to wear hats. And I guess the Spanish don't have that as much.
Yeah, no, With that, I think it's time to move on to the main event for me on this day, was it, which was the magnificent banquet that King Willem-Alexander and Maxima hosted that evening at the Royal Palace. And we got, I think the highlight of the evening was Maxima wearing the Stuart tiara for a lot of people.
I think for me, it was 1000% the fact that this was Amalia's first state dinner, That was also like a th like reported on in like in the Netherlands. Like we made it like a big thing. Like this is going to be her first state visit that she's going to be involved in. So, I was just really excited to have Amalia there because it's really fun that she's really like growing up in and becoming like this, you know, person who's being a part of these huge things and like she's really stepping in as a sort of so to speak. But when she was a child, we saw her like 2, 3 times a year. That is not an exaggeration. Like the Dutch
Oh, yeah.
royal children were so protected, so much more really than, for example, the British or like I mean like the Swedish. Like so it's just really exciting that we've been seeing so much of her lately. And I mean she's been wearing like 4 or 5 tiaras now in the last 2, 3 years, and it's just really fun to see her grow up, and she seems like such a nice, sweet girl. So I just get every time I'm happy to see her.
And I loved, I mean, I found the framing of this seating very interesting because in like the center block, two generations of the king with Beatrix and Amalia. But a lot of people were commenting on the fact that in the past, Beatrix has sat down. And this time, you could really see her kind of leaning against the chair. And the fact that she was standing up was a very interesting choice from the people who kind of framed this photo and took those decisions.
I mean, yeah, well, it definitely was something that popped in my head as well the moment that I first saw the pictures, but that's mostly because I'm sort of used to seeing them put the older people on chairs because they're older, so they can sit down. So in that sense, I thought it was a bit of an odd choice. But I really like that we got Maxima Beatrix and Willem Alexander like so close because that meant that we got some nice sort of three generation shots, which is like a thing that I have a personal, I love generation pictures because that's like a history thing. So that was nice. But yeah, I think they look good. So
Yeah, no, and I think Beatrix being there was such an interesting thing. And for me, being like an insignia nerd, the fact that she was wearing her Order of the Golden Fleece, because she was the first female recipient of that order, basically in history. So as a female,
She should wear it.
she and actually she's on every like visit to Spain, she's worn as like a big red bow, and you can really see that in kind of previous, like even like minor visits for weddings and small engagements, she always has the bow of the Golden Fleece on. So she's very takes a lot of pride in that fact that she's the first female recipient of that order.
And she should be proud of it. I it looks really cool. I prefer it over. I'm sorry, how do you say that in English? Like when you the what we're like what Amalia is wearing, for example, like the yellow blue thing. Like just to order, this is so much cooler. But it's just it I like that they're wearing it because I feel like it's sort of they're actually it's kind of to them, I think, also like a way of showing their friendship, like between these royal families, which I think they all really cherish, not just the Spanish and the Dutch, but like all the European family royal families. They seem to be like very friendly with each other, and this is sort of giving each other these fancy stuff. It's kind of also like a sign of friendship. So to then wear it, I think, is just, you know, it's kind of like you're wearing a friendship bracelet, I think.
Yeah, no, and it's very interesting kind of the way orders were distributed because the Spanish, they announced these things in advance and they already told us that Willem Alexander and Maxima would receive the Order of Charles III, which is the secondary order in Spain. And they told us this, they released it in a gazette. And basically, Willem Alexander did not receive the Golden Fleece like his mother did, and he'll probably receive that on a state visit to Spain later on. But Amalia wasn't announced at the time, and they only announced the fact that she got the kind of third ranking order, which is the Order of Isabella the Catholic, couple just right after she was announced attending the banquet. And people were kind of wondering, because that's usually an indication of who will be attending the state visit. So the fact that kind of was very interesting and showed that there was some coordination between the two royal houses for that sort of thing.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm glad that she's getting it because it's like this sort of collection sort of thing. Like she started collecting them. And she's been crown princess for 10 years now, so
Yeah, and actually, what's very interesting is that this, the Order of Isabella the Catholic, was also Maxima's first foreign order, and she received that before her wedding, and because the Spanish made a state visit to the Netherlands in October 2001, which was before Maxima's wedding, and she wore the aquamarine tiara and this order for that. So I found it very interesting that kind of the Dutch are very kind of the fact that Amalia wore her mother's wedding tiara for her first tiara, but wanted to tie that together. This is kind of the same thing that Amalia and Maxima's both first state banquets are both for our Spanish state visits. So it's those kind of historical links and the sort of thing that the media loves to tie together, even though they probably don't really mean that much.
I mean, it just so happens that this is the first state visit, I think, but at the same time, I can imagine that it's exciting also for William Alexander and Maxima to have Amalia like receive these things and have Amalia attend these, state banquets and stuff. I think it's very like, I mean, I'm excited because I've seen her grow up throughout the years, like she's the same age as my little sister, so that's also kind of for me, kind of, oh, look, it's Amalia, she's growing up, but yeah, her parents must have that same feeling. And I mean, Felipe and Leticia know Amalia like all her life, I'm sure. So I think it's really nice for them as well that she's now attending this. It must be, the next generation.
And they're probably kind of seeing how she'll be doing this sort of things soon enough as well. So it's kind of they're both couples are at a stage where they're kind of looking to pass the torch on to the next generation and kind of seeing them take on the duties that they've been doing for so long now.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that they're all in the same generation, a lot of royal families in Europe are in the same generation, kind of, like the Belgian king is also same age, kind of, and then, well, maybe not like, well, the Danish king now as well, and the Norwegian maybe not so much, but the heirs, so they kind of have these same ages, generation wise, and that probably helps with the friendships.
Definitely, yeah. And kind of a sign of that friendship is that Felipe got the Dutch Order of the Netherlands Lion, and that is what Leticia would have traditionally received as well, but she got the Order of the House of Orange, I believe. And that's only a personal gift of King Willem Alexander, and a lot of people were confused by that decision, but there's kind of some talk saying that this is really to thank Leticia personally for maybe taking care of Amalia when she was in Spain for the past year or so.
Yeah, that was huge news here that she's been living in Madrid. I feel like my initial response was okay, like, didn't we know that already? But now that I feel like that was mostly going around in how would you say it? Well, like people who are very, very invested in royals, because these pictures came out of her in Madrid, and it made sense that she would
It would be
flee the country. Yeah, it made sense, and obviously she speaks Spanish through her mother, so. But it was only rumors, but now it's been confirmed that she's been, that she lived in Madrid for a year. It was confirmed. So that, yeah, that was really big news here. In general, the way that she's, I mean, if, for those who don't know, like she was threatened by the mafia here. So she had to leave her house and stuff. And that was huge, huge news here.
And the fact that the Willem Alexander thanked the Spanish authorities and the king and queen and kind of the people who kept her safe there was kind of a pretty major thing from like a personal level, trying to connect this kind of official thing to something that they must have felt very deeply as parents concerned for their child.
Yeah, well, they always try to make these state banquet speeches personal, but I think this one was easy to make personal. First of, obviously, he mentioned that, that he thanked William Alexander, he thanked the Spain for taking care of Amalia for a year, and he kind of made it makes me wonder if maybe Laetitia and like Felipe, they probably knew, and maybe they had her over for tea sometime. Yeah, he thanked Spain, and he also mentioned that he and Maxima met each other in Spain, in Sevilla. That's where they met. So I think he said something along the lines of, if I remember correctly, and it's a very special place to our heart as well, because we met and there. And, well, he said something like, one day in Sevilla, two people met at this party, and the rest is history. And it's sort of, yeah, I mean, nice that they went back one time with their daughters as well.
Yeah, to the ferry. I believe they stayed with the Duke of Berry. They have really kept those ties, and I did an article on kind of the royal visit between the two families, and they've met each other quite a lot over the past couple of years in a private capacity, which is very rare with kind of two heads of state of different countries. So they are genuinely have a very close friendship.
I think royals in general probably have, I mean, they're outspoken about how close they are and everything, talking about it in speeches, but I think we probably underestimate how much time they privately spend with each other. I mean, I think, I'm not sure which one said it, but there's a group chat between Amalia, Ingrid Alexandra, and Elizabeth, and another one. Like, they probably have, like, I think they, and it makes sense that they would have so much contact because they can probably really understand each other on a sort of level that other people can't.
Especially kind of in the space of public scrutiny and kind of all of them dealing with the same challenges, and the fact they're able to have the sort of support system, which is something that their parents did in the 80s and 90s. It's quite nice to see that they're kind of continuing that tradition and have people who they can confide in without kind of feeling judged, or because they must have friends in their own countries and stuff, but they can't relate at all to the unique pressures of that position.
Yeah, the positions and but also the whole side of it where you're born into it or married into it, and then it becomes like your whole life work, everything. It's yeah, they probably, I can imagine that they have a lot of contact. But also as friends, maybe. I don't know. I don't know, obviously, but I think they probably spend a lot of private time together.
For sure. So we were just discussing the kind of speeches and the family touches that kind of both kings really brought into it. And one of the main ones was talking about the art collection and the between of Spain and the Netherlands, how both of them have really kind of both nations have exchanged. And we can see that in 2019 that the two kings met for a big exhibition at the Rijksmuseum about Spanish and Dutch artists. And I feel like it's one of those things where both countries have such a rich cultural heritage, and the fact that this was very much a strong point of this visit was really one of the highlights, and they were very keen to emphasize that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we were part of the Spanish Empire, and art was very much such a huge part of our 16th, 17th century culture, and that's very much intertwined. And a lot of the, like, particularly actually the last Spanish king that was our king, which is Felipe II, who is Felipe II, he was really into like the Netherlands culturally. Also his father, so Charles V, grew up in the Netherlands, so he had a very personal tie to the Netherlands in that regard. It's something that the Spanish royals really liked about, you know, having, at that point we were uncalled Netherlands, but like that part of their empire is, it was very like culturally, it was very rich country, rich part of their country. And yeah, I mean, art was definitely, I mean, the paintings that you see as well here in the back are from that time period. So it's during the time period that we were the closest before we ended up in an 80-year-old war.
Yeah, no, and that's one of those other things that they're very keen on emphasizing the historical links and the fact that these paintings are very much a physical remnant of that time that really has had quite a lot of changes from a political sphere, but the cultural influence stands the test of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a time in history that I'm very, very interested in personally. I mean, I wrote my bachelor thesis on this Spanish queen that sort of got the Netherlands to be a part of the Spanish Empire. So like the late 15th century, 16th century is my was my speciality. So yeah, it's really cool to sort of, see that get attention. So that's fun.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of the most interesting parts. And this is from a previous visit, and this was from the Rembrandt Velazquez exhibition in 2019. So this is kind of another sign of how the two sovereigns are very much at the heart of this sort of exchange. So let's move on to kind of my favorite bit, which is the tiaras. And Queen Maxima wore the what a lot of people say is Stuart tiara. That I've heard from a lot of kind of Dutch commentators that we should correctly call the house diamond tiara, and I kind of want to get your opinion on that.
I don't have a strong opinion on that.
I was kind of surprised how strongly people felt about this as just a tiara. It's not that big of a deal, but
I am I'm regularly very surprised how strongly people feel about a lot of things. I do not have a strong opinion on that. I kind of always just call it the Stuart tiara, but when the Stuart is not attached, I understand that it's kind of silly to call it the Stuart tiara. But then at the same time, I'm like, you know what I'm talking about, so I call it both. It's a gigantic piece, and it's kind of I'm always struggling to figure out whether I love it or hate it because it's so big.
Yeah, I think in the full form, I'm not a fan, but Maxima has been, I think we were talking about kind of how Maxima has really maximized the use of the Dutch Royal Collection, and no pun intended. But this has, and the way she has really embraced this tiara in particular, especially the fact that it hadn't been worn for almost 50 years before she started wearing it. And she's used it, I think, in five different configurations so far. She's worn parts of diamonds as earrings, as brooches, as bracelets, and she's made a kind of so much use out of this. And my favorite configuration is the one that she wore in Luxembourg, if you may recall that kind of mentally. But it was much kind of even base, and it had some of this diamond distributed around. But this one just feels like disproportionately large and seems quite
You mean where
uncomfortable.
she was? You mean where she was in yellow, right?
Yeah, that one, the yellow one.
That was beautiful because that color just looked so good on her.
Exactly. And that was her first appearance in the tiara, and it felt so proportional, which I feel it doesn't in this configuration with like it's just topped with massive diamonds, but they kind of just feel plopped on there rather than kind of
I
in
mean,
and there.
I just had to Google this now you're saying it, but that was just I love that look as well. Well, the color just looks, I don't know how she pulls off that color that should like technically be an ugly color, but she looks amazing in it. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but
Yeah.
she combined like these, she was wearing them as earrings, the bigger,
The
well,
bigger diamond, yeah.
not the Stuart one. She wore the Stuart, like the actual Stuart diamond for the
Yeah.
first time in the UK, which
Yeah.
I think was very, very conscious choice. I think she
Yeah.
was kind of,
Exactly.
let's keep that for like that
That
specific.
specific visit, yeah.
Yeah,
Because it was the
yeah.
last time it had been worn was also on a UK state visit by Queen Juliana in 1972. So it was a very symbolic choice on that end as well.
And she also is wearing it in the state portrait, but then only a Stuart tiara, right? Or
Like she wore without the Stuart diamond, but she had one of the bigger diamonds as
yeah.
piece in the state portrait that they released last year.
Okay, so she really likes it herself. That
Yeah,
is, I think,
and she wears those
completely.
massive diamonds as earrings quite often. Those are the ones that she wore at the King Charles's coronation that I was telling you about a bit ago, and she's also worn the small diamonds as.
Okay. And also, I think, wasn't she also wearing those Stuart diamonds at Ascot?
Yes, she wore the mascot and the Japanese coronation. So since 2018, she's worn them at like quite a lot of the biggest events. And
Okay.
like that's what I'm saying. And the smaller diamonds on the edge there, she's also worn them as earrings. And she, I think she was, you should probably search it up while I'm saying it, but she, on a visit to Morocco last year, she wore the Stuart diamond, the smaller ones as earrings. She wore a diamond Riviera and a big historic brooch, just like a day of visiting charities and things. And it was like the most random choice on like I think she was there on a UN visit, so not even an official visit, and she was like decked out in diamonds in the daytime with a suit, and I was like, that is the Queen Maxima we love. Like I was like, I have Never been more
It,
jealous of the Dutch for having a queen like that. Like, I love Queen Camilla, but Maximus.
we do. I we're just it's a combination. We have someone who likes to pull them out, but we also
Yeah.
have the diamonds.
You
It's
do.
a combination
Yeah.
there.
I mean, if you
And
look
it's not,
at the size of these diamonds, it's just like
it's
massive.
insane.
And I think that's one of the things we were talking about on Twitter. Like, a lot of like royal collections don't even have a single diamond near the size of like any of the diamonds in the tiara or on that big bow stomacher, or which is still not like in its biggest configuration, because the earrings that Maxim is wearing, I believe those are also part of the stomacher there. And you can see Juliana wearing it and has smaller pendants on the side as well. So it is even bigger than this.
I think what Maxima really does really well, why it, she can pull it off. I'm not a huge fan when she wears it on daytime, like UN visits, and you're
Yeah.
kind of like, okay, girl. Like, I think it's
Yeah.
funny at this point because it's like, obviously she's doing it, but like, I wouldn't
Yeah.
do that, but whatever. Like, I, you know, it, I don't know. Like, I
Yeah,
cannot be
there's a
mad.
time and place, and then like a UN visit to a poor country like Morocco is probably not that place, but we do
Exactly.
love
Like,
her for it.
I wouldn't do it, but whatever. I'm used to it. But there's two things I think where she can pull that off. And they're two very important things. Is number one is her hairstyle. She has very good tiara hair. Like, she's mastered it. There are, I'm not saying names, but there are some royals who struggle with that a little bit. And that is, you
We'll
need
be
to have,
talking
and
about
she.
them on the next slide. That's right.
Fine, sure.
Yeah.
So that's number one, but also number two is, I think, the outfit that she wears with it, which, I mean, this is kind of like obviously, but still, like, I think this stay visit actually is a good example of how simple her dress is.
Yeah.
So there's room for these huge
Stones to
jewelry
shine.
pieces to shine, but also like that it doesn't become too, I mean, number one example of this is obviously, I think, Queen Margrethe of Denmark. It's just
Yeah.
so much. But then also, like, it's Margaret again, like Margaret, whatever, used to it. But like that kind
She's
of
the
like is so
queen
in
in
your
her own right.
face, chill. This is too much. But then Maxima doesn't really do that. I mean, the example like Luxembourg that you just mentioned, which is I think one of my favorite looks,
Yeah.
it's so simple. That dress is so simple. It's just one color, it's nothing's really happening. It's like this one shoulder, really beautiful, perfectly fitting though, but like, and then there's room for these huge diamonds. And the dress that she was wearing on this state visit was doing exact same thing again. And it's a really beautiful dress. Like, don't get me wrong, like it's stunning, but it's very simple and it looks really nice with the
Yeah, and with the
now I'm
diamond,
forgetting.
and I feel like we can probably see her repeat these with the aquamarine pearl of the Dutch royal family, and it equally look as good
Ooh.
as that.
Well, maybe or maybe not, because I feel like that's well, maybe she wore it quite recently. Well, she's not been wearing the small tiaras a lot lately. I feel like she's
Yeah.
kind of passed them on to Amalia. She's like, you can do these now. Which, I mean, let's be honest, the tiara that Amalia was
Malia's
wearing.
wearing is not a small tiara by any means.
Well, maybe for the Dutch collection, but it's
Yeah.
not well in general. No, it's bigger than any Kate has worn.
I know.
We can
Yeah.
imagine, but.
So this was I think a lovely experience appearance from Maxima, and very symbolic that she chose the Stuart diamond. And equally as kind of symbolic was the fact that Letizia, who she wears her big kind of fleur-de-lis tiara, wore this one, which is Queen Maria Cristina's loop tiara. And this is one of the historic pieces of the Spanish royal family that has traveled down through the generations, but it's very unique that it never belonged to Queen Victoria Eugenie, who's like the main originator of much of the Spanish royal collection. But Letizia's, this is the third time Letizia's worn it. And with the Ines tiara, I feel like it's always like a miss. Usually the Letizia's tiara hair, especially what she wore in Denmark, if you can recall, with the ponytail, it just did not work with that massive tiara. But this hair was just absolutely perfect.
I think Letizia is same as Maxima, has really upped her tiara game the moment she became queen,
Oh, yes.
which makes sense. Like, you're the queen now, you're going to wear like these huge tiaras now. But Letizia's, I think, just sort of struggles a little bit more in the sense that she's just in general just a bit more petite as a
Yeah.
person, so she's sort of like, you know, but she, at the same time, she also has this very classic fashion.
Yeah.
I
And
think,
her like
yeah,
personality and like public persona is not as kind of outgoing and as out there as Maxima. So it kind of feels much more
I mean,
strange for her to wear something like this.
whose persona is as big as
Yeah.
Maxima's? It's like, I
It's
mean,
hard to
I've
measure
seen
up.
her, I've seen her quite a couple of times. I've seen her a lot in real life, actually. And that's just like she's very present. Like she's very, like it's this sort of energy, this sort of like it's I mean, I've seen Kate twice and she's like the complete opposite for the
Yeah.
comparison.
Yes, I've
Much
had
less she's not
quite
a
a
shy
quite it's the same
person.
thing. Like I feel like she's very subdued, but like same thing. I was talking to you about me and the Queen of Malaysia a bit. So and like when you I met her, I felt like this is how a queen should be. Like she was present and she like was the center of the room and like she was commanding that attention rather than kind of shying away from it. Which is a very kind of unique royal quality that's best needed to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I do think it's like royals are people who are allowed to be themselves. I think Máxima is, with her huge, gigantic personality, a very good match for Willem Alexander as well. Like he's a little bit more timid and a little bit more like, okay, let's not, like, I don't want to dance or something. And then she'll be dancing and she'll be pulling him on the dance floor. Like they're a very good match. And that's, I think, part of why she's such, I think Máxima is a good queen. And part of the reason that I think so is because she pulls the best version out of Willem Alexander. So that's nice. And then obviously she's good with tiaras, which in my book is also
Which is a
important.
big plus. So, no.
Yeah, no, but let's be honest here. Like I mean, I'm joking, but I'm also not joking. Like, what is the why do we still have monarchies? I think
Yeah.
for my personal opinion is that they have to entertain us, they have to amuse us.
Exactly, yeah.
You can put these tiaras in a vault where no one can see them, or you can put them on your head and sort of we can all enjoy them.
I
And
know.
Máxima definitely delivers in that regard.
She's
And
very
I
good.
think Laetitia is trying to do the same. And I mean, I just said so. I love Letizia's style. She looks really good a lot of the time. I actually really I quite liked her outfit 2 days
Same.
ago.
I
Just
agree.
I feel like it was a little bit too old maybe for her. Like it was just a little too
Yeah.
but yeah, she looked beautiful. I mean,
It
she's
was,
beautiful.
and I love kind of the color coordination between all the women wearing different shades of blue and how you can feel like that was something that they had discussed before and been appointed there. So I enjoy that kind of coordination. Similar like Letizia with this tiara, she wore Queen Ina's big diamond earrings and this gray pearl brooch of the joyas de Pizarro, which is like the Spanish crown jewels, which is one of the kind of the few times that she's worn a brooch in general, which is again also a big nod to Maxima and her trying to up her game just because Maxima is like,
I can actually imagine that that might be something that you would consider if you have to go do a state banquet with the Dutch royals, where you're like, okay,
how do I pull out the best from my wallet?
yeah, but also like you don't want to wear like, I mean, that must be hard for the Belgians. They must be like,
Yeah,
chill.
on last year's state visit, Queen Matilde wore all of her pairs of earrings, all three of her tiaras, and her one necklace in those 2 days state visit. Like it was kind of insane that Maxima had barely scratched the surface of the vault, and Matilde had worn it all. So,
That is so sad. The Belgians are so sad.
and
Oh.
like that's the same thing. Like you're talking about the royals have to entertain us. This was like the day after the Dutch and the Belgian Luxembourg state visit. And it was so like uninteresting because they both wore the same tiaras that they worn 100 different times, no variety at all. They're like, I don't even think we're gonna do an episode on it. It was that kind of boring.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. I
Was
mean, the Spanish okay collection, like in
yeah,
I
the
think
Spanish
like
are
overall,
pretty decent. Yeah. And this
yeah.
is one of those things that Juan Carlos inherited from his mother. And they have another kind of pearl tiara, which is actually I like it much better than this one, which is something that he bought from his art. So they have kind of three big tiaras and then three smaller tiaras, which is pretty decent for a country that doesn't really have that many grand events.
No, and also like got abolished quite
Yeah,
recently. Like
got
I
abolished
want
and then like their
to
current
got
situation is
back.
not really the most stable either. Let's be honest on that.
No,
So yeah.
no.
So
And Laetitia is someone who's criticized a lot,
yeah.
so that was also something I like to
This
keep in
was
the
kind
back
of
of
I we would like recent criticism. Whenever Letizia wears a big kind of heirloom jewel, we're always like she's just doing it to spite Juan Carlos because he
my
doesn't
head.
like her. So I'd say this was a good way of spiting Juan Carlos by wearing his mother's tiara and his grandmother's earrings and appearing as queenly as possible. kind of just.
I mean, the whole world is obsessed with the British roles and their drama, but like the Spanish are right there, like they're equally messy. It's
Oh
really
yeah, I know. It sometimes it's even worse with the jail sentences and the cheatings and the people.
Oh yeah, 1,000%. Like they actually get sent to jail, so in that sense, maybe they're doing a little better.
Definitely a great appearance from Letizia. And then we move on to, I think, the main character of the banquet, which is Amalia. And I was actually kind of, I have mixed feelings about this because I love the appearance, but I was hoping that she'd debut a new tiara and not something that she's worn twice before. But I feel like this is maybe kind of her way of taking a step back and allowing her mother to have kind of the main attention and still shining, but not necessarily becoming the focus of attention by wearing something new and creating a lot of buzz around that.
Yeah, see, I actually had like maybe the thought like maybe these tiaras obviously sort of they change them depending on who's wearing them. So maybe this one was just fitted for her head and then they were like, let's just use it again. That was maybe my first thought. I don't know. Like, this is one of those things like we can speculate about it. I have no clue why she decided to. We know that Amalia really likes tiaras because she said so in
Yeah,
her
she's got
18th
some hair, yeah.
birthday. Yeah, her 18th birthday biography, where she was interviewed, and she said, "I love tiaras. I know all of them by name." Like she's one of us.
Yeah.
She's one of
If she's listening
them.
right now, we hope that she can
She's
handle
one of
that.
us. I thought that was really fun actually to read that because it's promising. First off, because it means she's going to be like her mom. So yeah, I mean, I can imagine like sort of like the moment that she became this mature grown-up adult royal, like her hands were itching. She was like, I can wear those things now. Let's get going. And I have had that impression as well with like
Oh,
how
definitely,
excited she's been with like wearing jewelry as well. Like she's been like also not just tiaras, but like earrings and bracelets and all sorts of events. She's really been quite, you know, let trying different stuff. So that's cute, but then also like she's young, obviously, so
and she
she
can
won't be
carry on.
wearing.
I feel like she has like such a regal bearing that she can carry off these big jewels without like feeling like they overwhelm. Like I feel like Elizabeth of Belgium, whenever she wears her big tiara, it feels like she's like really like being swallowed by it. Wait, the way Amalia carries it off, and it's that confidence that I come feel like comes very naturally to her, and she's able to kind of do this. And I think that's going to be a great benefit to her and her future duties.
Well, she's a bit more like her grandmother. Like we just talked about how, you know, huge the personality of Maxima is, and Amalia definitely has a bit more of a, you know, a smaller personality in that sense. I don't think she's shy, but she's not like her mum. She's a little bit more like her grandmother, I think, where she does look very majestic and very, you know, she's, I don't know, like she's just standing upright, sort of. Not timid, really. It's I'm really excited about seeing what she's going to do in the next couple of years and seeing her at these events. It's just nice seeing sort of the younger generation grow up. It's
And
fun.
the fact that so one of the things that reasons I think Amalia does kind of listen and like follow us along is that I wrote an article about this tiara for Amalia's birthday back in December, and I made a whole thing about how the tiara and necklace haven't been worn together since like Beatrice's wedding ball in 1966, and like I wish they were kind of worn together again, and Amalia has worn them together again for the first time in like 60 years now.
Yeah, and she, it look, I like it. Well, she's sort of
I wish she
hiding
wore
it.
the necklace on top of the cape because I feel like it would look more cohesive, but I do appreciate the effort. That's what I say.
I don't know. Like I that was my first I was like, why is she wearing the cape over the necklace? But now I've
And
seen
she
this
didn't take
picture.
it off later on either. So I was like,
No, like I don't know why she did it, but I've seen it now so often that I'm like, okay, no, I actually kind of like it, but because now it's sort of like peeking through. But yeah, like it's kind of like something that usually I wouldn't find aesthetically pleasing to have like a necklace and a tiara that look exactly the same. It kind of looks a little, but it works.
It does. Yeah. This is one of those things that it like it's something like the Japanese royal family do quite a lot where they have mirrored tiara and necklaces. And I feel that's probably kind of an overkill, but this one, like the style is so kind of unique that it does work very well.
Yeah, I love the rubies. They're just really nice. They have like this sort of, they're not like that typical red. I don't know. It's really beautiful. I like this
Yeah,
tiara a lot.
they have very deep red color, which is different from kind of that kind of flimsy sort of red that you see in rubies nowadays, which is probably kind of talks about the quality of the stones, which is probably the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And if I remember correctly, that these rubies did come from Queen Sophie of the Netherlands, Wilhelmina's father's first wife. So they were kind of an older Jew that were repurposed.
William the Third's first wife.
Yes, and William.
If this like the ruby peacock, this is,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. So the stones, the rubies were they were set into a tiara for Wilhelmina, but the stones are older, if I remember correctly. Or I'm
Okay.
thinking of something
I
else. Yeah.
always feel a little, I'm always like a little yikes when they're
Yeah.
wearing jewelry for Sophie because she was like abused.
Yes, she was. But like also she and her mother-in-law had like Romanov jewels, and I feel like with the Dutch royal kind of so like made up with like stuff that is like was acquired by Wilhelmina and Queen Emma, that those jewels like you can really tell, yeah, the big stones and the Stuart tiara came from Queen Emma's time, but the Romanov
We
stuff.
just really we have a lot of Romanov stuff. Because as well, Sophie and her husband were cousins,
Yeah.
because William she was married to
She was
William the Third, and William the Third was a daughter of, well, no, a
the
son.
son of, yeah.
He was the son of Anna Paulowna, who was a granddaughter of Catherine the Great. So yeah, they have Romanov jewelry all over.
Yeah.
But also William the Third bought a lot of stuff for Emma, and then Wilhelmina also
And
like.
yeah, and then Anna Pavlovna's jewels were more or less destroyed in a fire, I believe. So they don't have a lot, as much as like other countries have, like Romanov, like the former Greek royal family have a lot of stuff from.
Most is Emma, right?
Yeah, most of it
I
is
see.
basically. Like,
Yeah.
it's
Okay.
like William the Third got a lot of stuff from her during their marriage and then during her widowhood, like. She got a lot of stuff made for Wilhelmina, which is like still worn today. And the fact that yeah, Wilhelmina only had Juliana and only like the collection wasn't divided up between multiple people. And it was just went from mother to daughter and
Yeah.
kind of stayed together until this, when it's just a massive collection now.
Yeah, the Dutch royals were extremely rich because they just didn't have a lot of children and they just kept passing it on to one person. Juliana was considered the richest woman in Europe when she got married, because the Orange-Nassau family was having a hard time breeding. They became really
Yeah.
rich. They became really rich.
And
So, yeah.
unfortunately, like for better or worse, she did not choose a good spouse in that because he was a bit of a fortune
Yeah.
hunter. Yeah. In addition to
Exactly.
being quite a controversial figure in a lot of other ways.
He's very, very, very
Yeah. He
controversial. Yeah.
continued to get more and more controversial the longer he's pa like time has passed since he's died. So yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, recently, obviously, we already knew, but we
Yeah.
found proof that he was a member of the Nazi party. Yeah, that's just a little pain. Like, that's literally our king's grandfather. It's painful. But yeah, controversial figure. He makes for good movies.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's there's so much kind of fascinating kind of content that royal families provide, and that he is definitely one of those figures. I'll kind of ask your opinions about the Maxima series later, but I feel like it deserves its own separate episode. And then here we have Princess Beatrix, who wore the Dutch diamond bandeau and kind of like the all diamond look, but it was very subdued and. Yeah, she really allowed that collar of the Order of the Golden Fleece to kind of really highlight her look, which I quite like it. I recently saw, I went to the Cartier exhibition at the Louvre in Abu Dhabi last month, and I
Okay.
saw the similar collar of the Golden Fleece dating from 1430. And it was just like magnificent in its level of detail. And this is kind of reminding me of that and just how historic of an order this is.
Her dress is very vintage.
It
Did you
apparently
see?
it only dates from 2002, which I was kind of surprised that it's kind of that recent because it looks very 80s.
Yeah, that's
She wore
Beatrix.
it
That's
for
classic.
the Budget Day speech in 2002.
I don't know. Like, I thought 2002 was pretty vintage. I think it's cool when they rewear stuff that is that is old. I mean, obviously, well, obviously it's not that old. I'm exaggerating, but
Yeah, given kind of
I
the levels of rewears they usually do, is like she would rewear. Like, I really like when Maxima wore like something Beatrix had worn in the 70s. And I was like, yeah,
the
that's
green.
touches like the green dress, yeah, with the peacock.
Yeah, the green dress. That's and it was a pretty it was a really fun. That was super 80s as well.
It
Yeah. Well, I have to say the bandeau is actually one of my favorites. I
really
don't
is,
know.
but I never really like it on Beatrix because I feel like it's almost hidden, and it's one of those things that I was kind of hoping that we might see on Amalia, because
Yeah.
but I like that because with Beatrix I feel like she wears those big tiaras. Queen Emma's tiara she wears very well, but the smaller tiaras just kind of get lost, so it's there
My
but it's
favorite
also not there.
on Beatrix is the one that she wore for her wedding.
Yeah, the Wittenberg pearl tiara, that one is
Yeah,
just
that one is so good. I'm more of a diamond than a pearl girl, but that is just
that is
pearl
spectacular. Again,
perfection.
that's one of those other jewels from Queen Sophie's.
Yikes.
Yikes. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
kind of find that very uncomfortable, the fact like they used kind of the stones from like the father's first wife to create jewels for the daughter of a second wife. But then I kind of did more research into it, and I found out that actually they were left to Wilhelmina by her like half brothers, so it wasn't like an unintended consequence. It was more of a they intended her to have it. So that kind of made me feel a bit better about it, because otherwise it's a bit more problematic on her.
I mean, it's just, I just, it's, it was really, really, really bad how she was abused by her
Yeah,
husband. It
he
was just
was.
like a remotely bad marriage, and like,
It's
but like
like
it wasn't.
almost a shock that he treated Queen Emma so well because he did not have a good track record.
No, I mean, well, they had, yeah, well, Sophie was just a very different person in a sense that she was also like
She was on
constantly.
like a bit of an equal footing, whereas like Emma was kind of under the king in an age and like her status from like a lower family, and she wasn't like his first cousin, and that's kind of that worked
Well,
that partnership, even though it wasn't her fault.
that age gap
Very
is
problematic.
absurd. Like he married a teenager when he was in his 60s or something. That was disgusting and weird. But they also just had like a much better matching personality in a sense that Emma was really like calm and sweet and sort of, whereas Sophie really looked down on her husband because she considered herself to be much more intelligent, which she was, but then she constantly was making him feel bad about his intelligence and picking fights, and she would fight back and she would throw things at him and he would throw things at her, and then they were really just terrible, terrible, terrible match. Not good. No.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of those most interesting of the Dutch royal marriages, for sure. And then kind of last in the
In the grand scheme of terrible royal marriages, that is what, and there are a lot, and then I mean like in throughout history is one of the worst, and that says something.
really does, yeah. And then kind of the last tiara we have is on Princess Margaret, who's wearing the laurel wreath tiara, which has a very kind of unique kind of provenance because it just appeared at the time of Beatrix's 18th birthday, and some say it's like an older piece dating to Queen Anna Pavlovna, but others like it's probably like was acquired new by Juliana and Bernard, and so but it's been kind of worn by extended members but never by Maxima, which makes it like a very unique tiara. It's the only tiara except the ears of wheat that has never really been worn by Maxima, so yeah. But
I
earrings,
really like tiaras. I just have a special place in my heart for wee tiaras, but on the
yeah, and this
kind
one
of
is
with
like such like a classically pretty design, so I really enjoy it.
yeah, it's a little on the boring side, but it's very pretty.
It's,
I have
I only
very
have
little
one
to say
tiara,
about it.
yeah, that's
It's
kind
one
of
of
the same thing, yeah. And kind of the more remarkable thing for me in that look is the diamond rivière, but also those earrings that Margaret's wearing, which actually came from a tiara belonging to Queen Wilhelmina, and it was a big sapphire tiara, which was broken up in the 1950s and 60s to create like a bunch of jewels for her daughters. And like a lot of the big like sapphire earrings you see the Dutch royals wear and the brooches, they all came from that tiara. So this is like one of Margaret's personal jewels. It's like a piece of history that she just owns and She wears it actually quite regularly, but it's like I featured on her birthday this year, and so it's like I notice it now more than I've kind of written about it in detail. And then let's move on to the return event, which the Spanish king and queen at the end of every state visit, there is a return event hosted by the visiting heads of state to kind of honor their hosts. And this was held at the Straats Museum in Amsterdam, I believe. And this was kind of a very unique dress code for that. But first of all, I'd kind of want to point out Amalia's curtsy, because this is the first time we've seen her execute a curtsy in kind of real life. And I think this was, we're kind of in a, we saw Queen Mary of Denmark did her very deep curtsies, and now we won't ever see that again. But this is very lovely to see. Yeah.
It's Dutch royals usually don't curtsy. It's something that Juliana
Yeah.
stopped. She was thought it was stupid.
I
I
have
don't
mixed
know with
feelings on that
curtsy.
too. I sometimes do agree that it's probably a bit ridiculous, but then also it's like the one of those historical traditions that, yeah, I like to see it being done rather than think about it as a practice.
It looks so royal, and that's what makes it a little makes it fun, I think. But I'm personally quite happy that the Dutch just don't do it, because I feel like the Netherlands, like Dutch people, would hate it. So
Yeah. Yeah.
it's
And
just
they've now abolished it in Denmark as well. So, like, a lot of countries are getting rid of it.
that, yeah, because that was one of those countries that was still very into it.
Yeah. But, like, we saw that, like, the first day of the new reign, like, no curtsies anywhere.
It seems like one of those things, like if you want to be like, I'm this modernizing royal, that is like a good
Yeah. That's
option.
a good way to, like, do something without not doing much. So.
Yeah, literally, like, okay, how can we pretend to be modernizing? Let's drop curtsies. I don't know. I thought it was fun to see her do it for the first time, because it's just, again, like one of those look at Amalia being a professional royal kind of moments. That's what made it fun for me. But I'm not like a huge fan of curtsies, so I don't, it doesn't, but I thought it was fun to see her do it.
Yeah, no, that's really one of the things I was like, oh, it's was a bit unexpected, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, and it's like it's not something you expect to see from the Dutch role, so that
I
made.
always feel like if you look at these pictures, the person who is curtsy to always looks a little uncomfortable.
Oh,
They're
yeah.
always like, oh no, stop, stop.
Stop. Like, get up. Yeah.
I
So, and then just before we move on, chatting a bit about the jewels. Queen Letizia wore a pair of earrings belonging to Queen Sophia, which were a gift from the Sultan of Oman in the 80s. And they're kind of
don't know.
modern jewels. Maxima wore a pair of her personal earrings. She wore a piece of Juliana's Dutch East Indies bracelet, which is like one of this iconic jewels that Juliana received as a wedding gift from what is now Indonesia in 1937, and it was broken up, and Maxima wears it quite often. But more special is the ears of wheat in her hair, which come from a brooch that belonged to the Dutch royal family. That's like this big corsage thing. But Maxima's often worn these ears of wheat on her hat or in her hair, but never with the full kind of ears of wheat tiara. So this is just like something that she'd make versus making special.
I love that. They're one of my favorite things that she, and I hate that we, I don't know, maybe you have seen it, but it was really hard to find a good picture of how she was wearing it this time.
Yeah.
I love what she does with them. I like that she puts them, but I prefer it when she just puts them in her hair. Like, I think it was her
Yeah.
40th birthday party where she did that.
Yes, she did.
I thought that was just so pretty, and but I like it that she also puts them in hats, and like it's just,
I
I don't
loved
know.
when she wore it in Portugal with that big red cape dress, and she had the ears of that looked very stunning. It
Yeah, it's, I don't
looked
know, like it's one of my favorite, I don't know why. I don't know why. Well, I mean, what is particularly beautiful about it? I'm not sure, but it just looks really cool. Well, maybe because it has these drops.
Yeah, that's, I think it's just like one of those antique jewels that just translates very well into kind of modern jewelry and the way it's worn by Maxima. And that kind of leads us on to our next point about this visit, is that this return event was kind of very different from return events, which in past have been banquets or concerts or like what black tie or white tie gala events. On the right over here, you see a return of Anhelgen, the Swedish state visit to the Netherlands in 15 years ago. And that was full on. And that was the last time they actually, in the Dutch, had a return event with white tie and tiaras, and hasn't been held since. So you can really see this transition in such a short period of time, and how it's kind of making state visits and these sort of things modern, but also from our kind of sake, where we like to see the glitter, not as.
Boring. Yeah, I mean, this felt really felt like just one of the other events, nothing special like compared to all the other things that they were doing. I thought the pictures of Maxima and Laetitia in the cinema were more fun than this event, except that Amalia was there. Amalia was kind of getting a lot of hate in this country, in this country, in the Netherlands, because of her coat.
Oh,
I
really?
feel like Amalia is sort of trying to find sort of what her style is because she's, I don't know, 20 or something. Like she's so young. Like let her breathe. But yeah, it's just like sometimes that compared to Maxima, who's so clear what her fashion style is, that it sort of looks a little messy sometimes. So she, everyone was like, why is she wearing a raincoat? But
Yeah, so you're talking about Amalia kind of getting hate for this outfit, and I do agree with that, that she is kind of starting out in real fashion, but I feel like the outfits that she's worn, especially for the white tie events, have been a lot more planned out. But for kind of events like this and her daytime outfits, I feel like she is very much letting like Maxima shine and take kind of that spot in the spotlight, for lack of better words. And she kind of takes a step back and for like it's a more of a deliberate choice to not stand out that much.
yeah, I haven't really thought about it in the sense that maybe she lets Maxima shine. Could be. I kind of it comes across more to me as in she's trying to find this middle ground between looking really professional but also her age. And I
Yeah.
think that's just really hard as a royal because if you want to look like a professional royal, you quite quickly wear dresses and pantsuits and I kind of feel like she sort of feels like she's a little too young for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the same with King's Day. I feel like she's struggling a little bit to find like a proper outfit for that as well. Same with her sisters,
Yeah,
but they're
because
so young.
like
They're so
I do
young.
agree with that, because Maxima has a very like she wears a hat and like a kind of coat dress, and it's all a bit formal, but then with the daughters, they're trying to struggle, and I'm not really sure it's always the most successful with this kind of meet. Means formal and semi-formal, because it's not really the most formal of events. Like it doesn't really call for a hat and a coat, but with
Exactly.
the
You
event,
don't want to wear
definitely,
jeans either.
yeah,
You don't want to wear jeans
it's one of those very
either.
like harder events to kind of dress for, because it kind of goes, it's all day thing. So they kind of start off with like sports things and go on to like a concert where they kind of should be a bit more dressed up, but it's probably like a nightmare to dress for, and every year you have to kind of find a new outfit for that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, it's the. I mean, not anymore for Amalia, but it used to be like the number one event of the year where we see them all day, like a lot
Yeah.
of them. So obviously they want to look nice, but it's been super incohesive. Is that an English word? With
Yeah,
what they've
I do
been,
agree with that, because I
with
feel
what
like
they've
the
been
last
wearing.
like best like because you've been writing that article about that you're telling me about, and 2017 was the last year I felt like it was very kind of cohesive. That was like the year of William Alexander's 50th birthday, and since then it's kind of been all over the place from a fashion point of view, and kind of it's not been as fun to cover from kind of my perspective. It's just kind of been there, and
I mean, 2017, they must have been like kids still. They
yeah,
were still dressed by
I mean.
probably still dressed by, they used to be wearing the same outfits. And
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy that's in the past
I do agree
because
with that. Yeah, that was.
I thought the outfits were the best during that COVID King's Day event. And then
Oh,
the
yeah, I
first,
agree.
which is when it was all at home, it was the most boring King's Day event in history.
Yeah. But we
But they
got a
were
lot of
wearing.
lovely shots of their newly renovated palace. So
That was
we're
cool,
happy to see
and
that.
they were wearing these summer dresses, and it was just like cute summer dresses. I thought that was really nice. It that was my favorite outfits that the princesses have worn, not
Yeah.
not
Max.
Maxima. She was in this weird pantsuit,
Yeah, and then she wore that weird like halter neck top for the evening bit that did not work at all. And yeah, I agree.
no. And then I remember the year after that, I really like, I wish I could forget it, but that year with Alexia, I was wearing this sort of beige sort of suit with like a matching, well, like this dress with this matching small cardigan. It was like, that's exactly what I mean, where it's kind of not cohesive. And like, that was super royal kind of classic traditional outfit. But then I don't know, they're still figuring it out. It must be really hard for them.
Oh yeah, definitely. This kind of being in this transitional phase as a royal where you don't really have the full-time duties or like that sort of platform where you kind of need to create an identity for yourself, but also still trying to be appropriately dressed for every event. It's probably
Yeah,
a
and
very
I
challenging
mean,
thing.
they get a lot of hate. Well, not hate, they get criticized a lot, maybe because we don't see that much of them. So then when we do, everyone's like, oh, look, it's the princesses that we haven't seen in 10 months.
Yeah.
And then what's the first thing you see? What they're wearing. And then, you know, they get body shamed and they get like, it's a thing. It's really bad. It gets really bad. So William Alexander said in the podcast last year that they read everything,
Oh.
and hear everything. Yeah, he said like they hear and read everything because we can't protect them from not hearing or seeing it. So he said that he and Maxima, they don't try to protect them from seeing it. They try
Yeah.
and throughout the years have tried to help them deal with it instead. So he was like, I just, you know, like we didn't try to sort of hide it from them. We just tried to help them accept that this is just part of their life and how to, you know, deal with it. But must be like they're so young. It's kind of sad, really.
Oh, definitely. And I feel that with kind of a lot of the younger royals is that when they're dealing with something like we see all these documentaries of like stuff happening in the 80s and the 90s and how royals struggled in the media spotlight, and you would think that people have learned a lesson, but then the moment like they turn 18 and you see so many of those same things kind of being repeated, and you're like, yeah, no, society has not really progressed that much in 2 or 3
No,
decades. And
it's mostly, it was interesting because Ariane was, it was her birthday 2 weeks ago, I think,
yeah, a
last
couple
week,
days ago, yeah.
that's the third one, obviously. And then it's always the ones who get the most attention are obviously Amalia, because she's the Princess of Orange, but then also Alexia, because she's I don't want to say the prettiest, but like she looks so much like, she looks a lot like Maxima, and she had a
Yes.
lot of social media, TikTok
Yeah.
clips leaking out, and like she's kind of, so everyone's always paying a lot of attention to her from that point. And you know, we had a radio presenter who 4 years ago or something, when she was 16, said that, you know, he would sleep with her. And it's kind of,
That's
yeah, they've been,
interesting, yeah.
so this is mostly the two oldest who get a lot of
Yeah.
attention that you don't want them to have. And then the third one, Ariane, doesn't really get that, so she's kind of the one who sort of hides behind the other two, I think. But it's, I really like her. I think it's nice to see her grow up. I'm excited for her to turn 18 next year.
Yeah, and we're attend the Princess Day stuff, and I kind of that's one of the things that I've really found with Alexia is that kind of her public persona seems much more confident than Amalia, and we saw that at Princess Day and kind of the I think ship christening she did last year, but she was much more comfortable with the media attention and kind of with her style and stuff. Than Amalia has been, and she was kind of much more open to embracing that than I feel like Amalia has been public. Because I think Amalia has so much pressure, where with Alexia, she can just kind of do whatever and not really have much
Yeah.
in that sense.
And then as I like Amalia gets a bit body shamed a lot.
Oh
That
yeah,
gets
that.
really, and it has been since she was very young. So
Yeah.
and like you said, way more pressure. So not comparable situations, obviously, but apparently they do have a very close relationship, so that's nice. I mean, the Dutch royals are kind of one of the only royal families who don't have these horrible brother-sister relationships. So let's hope we can keep that tradition going.
Yeah, especially from like generations of only child, and then Beatrix and her sisters seem to be still pretty close, which is quite refreshing and
Yeah, no drama there. And Willem Alexander and his brothers also, again, no drama. They're
Yeah.
really close.
And I think
So
the kind of best w thing about that, and the reason that kind of it's helped institutionally, is that from the start, like the lines are kind of clear that you're the heir, and for lack of a better word, spare. And like you're those people, like they already know they won't have an official role, and there's kind of no kind of false hope. Like in a sense, we've seen the UK that some minor royals, like especially around the time they get married, they are made to seem like they're the most important member of the royal family, and they think their egos are really inflated, and they think they are much more essential, or there's some personal quality in them that makes them that's the reason that they're so popular, rather than actually realizing that it's actually the institution of the monarchy that's it, and they're just kind of a small part in a very bigger thing.
It's the generational jealousy that the Windsors have should have its own name,
Oh
honestly.
yeah. But
It's
I feel like
bizarre.
we've seen
I
that
have a
in
lot of
other countries
theories
as
about
well,
it.
like Denmark and Belgium.
Yeah.
But
Again, like I just
yeah.
said, like the Dutch are kind of the only ones
The
who
only
are
ones
like,
that like
yeah, it's kind
they
of
seem to be
in.
kind of content with themselves.
Well, I have a lot of theories about this. we could make a whole podcast about it if we
Yeah,
wanted
that
to,
would
but
be actually
I
pretty.
can talk about that for hours because I find it really fascinating, and I do find it interesting that the Dutch don't have it. I don't know why we don't have it. I think one of the reason, if I have to give an answer, I think the number one reason that the Dutch don't have that sibling rivalry going on is because they don't have a royal job anyway. Like
Yeah.
Alexia and Ariane are never going to be in the institution as working royals. They're going to have to be making their own money, and they know that from the start. And it also gives them a lot of freedom, which, I think they're happy about. If you look at the UK, Harry was expected, kind of, well, not anymore, but expected to be working within that constitution for the rest of his life, but as like, a backup royal,
Yeah.
not necessarily backup, but always like, the
Kind of
lesser
second
important.
class, not in the top tier. And no matter what, he
Exactly.
would never kind of be there anyway. And he'd kind of
No, and he
push further and further
always.
back as time went on.
Exactly. So you become less and less important, less and less interesting, whatever you want to call it. And then just sort of that's
Fade
your
away,
life. And
yeah.
you'll never be the top dog. Whereas in the Dutch monarchy, we have the top dog, and the top dog is the only one who's
Yeah.
there. And that's it.
Or they're
So
rich,
we
and then they give up and abdicate and move on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Alexia and Ariane. Alexia has already said so that she is planning on supporting her sister, but she's going to have her own life, her own money, her own thing. She's
Yeah.
not going to be working for her sister and, being like. I mean, if you look at Andrew's boss, is his brother, and I'm not feeling sorry for Andrew here, but
Yeah,
like that
man.
is an unhealthy
Yeah.
sibling relationship, I think.
I do
It's
agree with
not.
that. Just
Yeah,
thinking,
so.
like, if I my siblings were my employers, like that would be a horrible and idea of many sorts.
And if it's a choice, it's a choice. But with them, it's not a choice, So
Yeah,
that's
more
also not
about.
helping. And then you get all these traditional things where there's curtsying going on and calling someone Her Majesty or Your Majesty and all of that stuff that adds up to it. And yeah, it's kind of, it must have impact on your personal relationship. I mean, Harry's written a whole book about it, about being a
Yeah.
spare. So, it's kind of,
It does
it
have an
definitely
impact. Yeah.
does something with a person, that's safe to say. Yeah.
Definitely. No, and I think let's kind of wrap this up. What were kind of your thoughts on this state visit from like the I was this like the first time, like if have you kind of followed Dutch royal state visits like in such close detail before, like you've looked at every single event and outfit, or was this like your kind of first time where you're like really seeing the finer details and how kind of this sort of thing's done?
It was different to approach it from, well, I have worked in royal reporting before with state visits, but to be entirely honest, the last time I was working full time in royal reporting, it was COVID time.
Yeah.
So it's a long time ago. Like I had a 2 year break in royal reporting, and now I'm back part time ish, but I'm full time working in journalism. So it was very different from. Like I've never done a state visit in that sense because there were no state visits during COVID. So,
Yeah.
super excited about it. It was a little bit overwhelming in the sense that I also had to deal with all the news coming in.
Yeah, it's a busy
What was
time.
fun really was that before I had to sort of look up pictures and do this and do that, next to my, like, I don't know, next to being in school, university, whatever. And now it was kind of like I had this moment where I was going through pictures and looking up like the prettiest pictures of the day and putting them on Facebook, on that Facebook page. And I
Yeah.
was like, I'm getting paid for this. And that was fun. Like,
Yeah.
that is the best feeling in the world kind of feeling.
Yeah.
So that was
I
really
totally agree
exciting.
with you. That's kind of one of the best parts of my job where I'm like looking at pictures and I'm like doing something I would have been doing anyway, but I'm like, wait, I like my living now. So I get paid.
Yeah, that is, I mean, not
Yeah.
to be like to look at me, but that was that's the best
Yeah.
feeling, let's be honest. Like, I not recently, I was literally making a TikTok about Kate, what was going on with Kate and the photo scandals and stuff, and just edited that video for the entire day, and I closed my shut my laptop, and I was like, I just did that and got paid for it. It's insane. And I had that a lot with the state visit as well, so that was really nice. And I mostly, honestly, what I thought was the most exciting bit was just Amalia being there. I mean, that made it really special for me,
Okay.
so that's the thing that I'll be remembering the most, I think.
As a kind of someone with a bit of kind of knowledge about the Dutch royals, a lot more than me for sure. Do you think that this is something that we'll see Amalia do kind of more and more? Will she be like attending more and more state visits now, or is it just kind of because this was such a special thing, it's kind of one time, and she'll probably kind of go back until she's a full-time working royal?
No, I'm kind of expecting her to be joining in on state visits from that one. Yeah, I don't feel like this was a, it's Spain, so you can join. I feel like this was very much a, if she's in the country, if she has time, if she doesn't have exams, la la la. I'm pretty sure that she's, I'm not expecting her to join on foreign state visits.
Yeah.
Like, if go abroad, I'm not
Unless
saying, I don't.
like to some like close kingdom, because they did do that a bit. If like for example, I feel if they go to Spain on a state visit, Amalia might join them for that. Just kind of introduce her to foreign state visits, because Willem Alexander did a bit of that with his mother in the 80s and 90s. And I was like,
Yeah,
wait.
well, Willem Alexander and Maxima went with Beatrix when they were like adults, married, everything. Like,
Yeah.
they definitely joined Beatrix also because Beatrix's husband
Beatrix,
wasn't
yeah,
there.
has
Yeah,
passed
so
away.
they went with her, which I think was very nice. So they went as a
Yeah,
trio.
it's kind of like training on the job, which I find interesting. Like they did that similarly with Frederick of Denmark, and then with King Charles and Princess Anne, they accompanied the Queen and Duke on a lot of kind of official tours and state visits in the late 60s and early 70s. And it's kind of hands-on experience and makes it more exciting for kind of other people who are following, because
Yeah.
they're multiple people, but it gives them a safe environment. So when they're kind of doing the sort of thing themselves, they already know the motions and they don't have to be so overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with what's going. I think that Willem Alexander and Maxima are very much like, if you have school, then you are going to
Possible,
your
yeah.
classes, the lectures.
Exactly.
I mean, we didn't see her much throughout the day. Like, she was only there for the state visit and for the last
The
goodbye
yeah.
thing. Yeah, probably because she was, she
She was,
had
yeah,
lectures or
of
something.
course, yeah.
I mean, that is definitely still going to be the most important thing. But for like a state, like this state banquets, and
Yeah.
yeah, I do.
But
And
the sort of
yeah,
thing
I think it's
manpower
time
that
as
in,
well. Like,
yeah.
she needs to be seen more.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's time. We like, yeah, it
Yeah.
would be a mistake not to let her do it, I think.
I do like I really find that actually a bit refreshing, because one of the things that we kind of are told time and time again and by a bunch of people is that royals, even though kind of they're of age now, they're just gonna be studying and they're gonna be taking like they'll probably be in their like mid-30s by the time they start what's essentially their main job. And the fact that you're saying like she's 20, it's gonna be her the rest of the life, but it's kind of her job, so she kind of has to do it. So why are they delaying it? So I find that a really nice approach from the Dutch, that they're kind of putting her in the deep end and letting her get used to the idea without kind of having the pressure of doing it by herself later on.
We barely saw her in her childhood,
Yeah.
everything. Like, we really, really didn't see a lot of her. Like, people say that we don't see enough of the British children. Like, we see the British children like 10 times more than we used to see the
Oh
Dutch
yeah.
sisters. Honestly, like two times a year max. It was hardly ever. No, not two, three or four. for.
Yeah.
It's just hardly ever. So she's 20 now, and I think she also wants to. I feel like she's really enjoying herself going through to these
Yeah.
events, and can you blame her? Obviously she's 20. She's like, she probably has a really good time picking out these outfits and wearing the tiara.
I know. I think that's one of the things where she's for sure enjoying it, and I think it's not something that's being forced upon her, but she is really a willing participant, and she kind of wants to take on more. And that's one of those things that, like, we see with other heirs who are full-fledged adults in their 40s, that if there's a will, they would be doing more, and the fact that they aren't is just because they do not want to.
Well, especially when they're that age. Yeah,
Yeah.
obviously. I mean, come on. But yeah, I mean, like,
Yeah.
if we're with Amalia, she also went to, with the coronation with Beatrix, she went to the
Yes. And the
I don't
coronation
know, it
reception
was
at
like
Buckingham Palace. Yeah.
luncheon. Yeah, reception, thank you. And then she went with her parents to the Jordan wedding. I think she goes to these events because she wants to, because she
Oh,
thinks it's
yeah.
fun. I mean,
Because it's
come
like
on,
the event of the year. And, like, if my parents were
Yeah,
going,
I mean,
yeah.
obviously she thinks
Yeah.
that's fun. She's also just, I think if Amalia really like is a 20-year-old Dutch girl who probably goes, and that was her first time probably inside Buckingham Palace, she was probably having a blast. She was probably like, this is so cool, all these famous people. Like, that's, she must have had so much fun. So, and
There's,
I
like,
think
this,
for sure.
like, full kind of archive of all the photos taken, and it's like different shots of Amalia's face, and it's so expressive that you can, like, see, like, she's freaking out when Charles is coming towards her way, and you're like, you can see her fan.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a future queen too, but yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, yeah, but it's Charles. I mean,
It's
it's
Charles, yeah.
yeah, she probably thinks that's really like really cool. I can't imagine. And
I know,
I mean, same with Elizabeth from Belgium, also
yeah.
same story, I think. They just think it's really, I think they're just really
It's
excited to go to.
essential for them to kind of do this
But
part.
also in the same way that you and I would be excited to go
Oh, yeah.
to a fancy wedding, like that Jordan wedding,
Definitely.
I would have loved to go there,
Yeah.
not just these people, but it was so extra,
Would have
so
loved to
much
fly to that
fun.
wedding. Yeah.
Yes. So obviously, so does Amalia. Like, that's no doubt in my mind that she's just having a good time. And I hope she can hold on to that, you know,
Oh,
that
definitely.
it's fun, that she's gonna find a lot of joy in her
This
work,
sort of
I
thing,
think.
yeah. Rather than it feeling
Yeah.
a burden to her.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's the best kind of royal, is the royal that actually enjoys being royal.
Yeah.
And you see that really well in like Victoria, for example, in Sweden, who
Definitely, yeah.
seems to just really love her job. It helps.
Yeah. And she's like Amalia, like, in a sense, like, she's really embraced it, and she's been doing it really from a young age. Like, her parents don't really give her that kind of time. Like, from the time she turned 18, she was attending these state banquets and these visits, and she was really hands-on in the royal stuff, because there's kind of no point in waiting and just doing something else, because it's better to kind of be content with your future career than kind of keep on putting it off.
Yeah, but then, you know, it's hard to force wanting something on yourself
Exactly.
or
Yeah.
someone. That's hard. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that's why one of the things that I like about Amalia is that she seems really excited to do what she's doing. So that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, we wish her all the best. And I think that's a great way to end this episode. It's been just an absolute pleasure talking to you today. And I think I'd love to have you on again soon.
Rambling, always rambling. I'm
Always.
so sorry if I did too much of that.
No, that's an absolute pleasure. Could you just let people know where they can find you on social media and on it there?
yeah, well, obviously I'm on TikTok. As Brigitte.Marie, that is my TikTok account. That's definitely my number one thing where I
Yeah, and
post.
we'll link it everywhere this will be published. So check.
Okay. Thank you.
Sounds